Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Barbon. We've got a very, very jam-packed show today, and we've got a full house almost with my guests today. So we've got regulars all together once again, which is great to have you. So we've got Mr. Lee Curtin, we've got Kofi all the way up in Liverpool, and we've got Big Bad Don as well. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining me.
Hello, mate.
Good evening.
Good evening, mate.
So it's been a bit of, dare I say, shit week, to be fair, considering the last pod that we did, we were looking forward to the Champions League game and we were looking forward to the Chelsea match, and now we're a little bit despondent. Everyone's gone mad on social media thinking it's the end of the world, and it's our job to try and analyse this and hopefully, through the form of conversation, create a bit of therapy in our lives. So hopefully at the end of it, it's not going to be completely the end of the world. However, I'm not sure if that's going to be the case because we are in a bit of a sticky situation. So let's see how we got on. So firstly, let's talk about the Leipzig game. It was a tough game. No one can deny that. I think we struggled to create chances. And it was only really till the last sort of 15 minutes or so that we looked like we might get a goal. And obviously there was a couple of chances in the first half, but it's pretty much they were on the attack. They really... The tie should be out of sight, really, to be fair to them. You know, they look very, very dangerous. They've got some great attacking players. They move the ball quickly. And if it wasn't for Hugo, we would be well out of this tie. So, you know, I think that was the main thing that came from it, was that we were lucky, I think, if we were in all honesty. Do you think that's a fair assessment, Don, of the game as a whole?
Absolutely. I think that, after the first half, I just wanted it to end. It was really bad in terms of them dominating us at home. You could see, obviously, the effects of the fact that we'd lost Son. I think that was evident, definitely, at the beginning of the game. And it's strange, really, because, just going back to the game before, I thought Villa... We kind of just about got away with it there. And this is the game that I was almost dreading it, really. Of the three games that we had in 6 days, it was the one game that I felt that we didn't need. We needed a bit of time in between them to kind of really be prepared for Chelsea. And yeah, as you said, it was a really bad performance. It was really below par. The players are tired.
Well, he keeps on mentioning it, doesn't it, Mourinho?
Alongside
him bemoaning the lack of strikers, he also keeps on saying that they are tired, and that is a frustrating thing to hear. But then again, we don't seem to have anyone else to really come in and do that. Obviously, he's changed the team a little bit. He brought in Fernandes alongside Winks, who I thought did okay. Bergwijn did okay, but no one was really sort of like. The problem that we're finding, I think, is that obviously when they're not playing with a focal point. They're not having that Harry Kane or Son, even though Son's not a proper striker. They're not having that player to really look for. And therefore, when they're getting the ball, it's all a little bit weird. They don't really know what to do with it. And I think, obviously, Ali went off very frustrated. But, I mean, an example of his play just before he went off was when he got the ball on the far touchline and he just sort of... He passed it inside and he does what he does. He sort of like slows the attacks down. He didn't really, you know, when you're in that situation, in that sort of game, you really need to take the game by the scruff of the neck and you really need to go forward. But they just seemed a bit hesitant to do that. And it was strange, really. It was strange. I mean, I definitely would have taken 0-0 at half time because I thought it was, you know, we were definitely up against it. The Davies challenge obviously was a shocker, and he has got form for that, and that's the frustration for me, I think, because again, as me and Lee have spoken about for years on this show, it's all about mistakes when it comes to this level, and it's all about, you know, making sure that we are solid and we're not doing stuff like that. It was a stupid challenge to make, and if Aurier made it, God knows what would have happened. The stadium would have erupted if Serge had made that mistake, because people were on Serge's back big style, which I don't like to see. I'm not a fan of it. We heard it with Eriksen as well, and you know, I don't like it at all. I don't think it's fair. I know that we're not Serge's biggest fans, but that doesn't mean that when he wears a shirt we don't support him. Far from it, you know. And you've got people that are literally like almost criticising him before he's even done anything. Like, when the ball looks like he's going out to him, they're like, oh, here we go, you know, look at this, you know, and that's not supporting your player. I'm not saying that I'm confident of him doing a good cross anymore, because I'm not, but I still want him to do a good cross. And if he does do a good cross, I will be happy for it, and I will cheer, and I will, you know, praise him. You know, it's I just find it weird how these players seem to have sort of like just gone full circle. And it's like, it's a strange situation to be in a stadium where you have got that against a player. It was the same with Sissoko when he first came.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
it was the same with Eriksen towards the end as well. And it is weird. And I don't know what it is. I've never experienced it before at football, yeah, where there was like a sort of that. I don't even know how to describe it. It's criticism of your own player. And I get it that he's not performing as well as he should do, but he's not terrible. He wasn't the one that gave away the penalty. He didn't do anything glaring really in that game. He gave away a free kick, which they didn't do much from, but you know, it's a strange situation really. And I don't really like it. So Kofi, what was your thoughts on the game? Do you think that we just sort of struggled to form an attack, and we were lucky to get away with it as well?
Oh, definitely. We were fortunate. although Hugo did play very well and absolutely kept us in the game. I think it's very similar to a lot of games that we've played in Europe in the last couple of years, in that we almost wait for the other team to come at us before we start playing. There are games where we've gone 1 or 2 nil down and we've not even started playing yet. It was really interesting watching the game, just thinking, actually, Leipzig, as you said, should have scored 3 or 4 and should probably have won the tie by now. But we're still in it, which is great. You know, it means that we have to have that alertness about us, that sense of, actually, let's start playing from the beginning. Let's play 90 minutes here. I think there were flashes in the game where we did attack them. We did open them up, I say flashes. So
I thought Lamela came on and made a difference. I think he showed a bit of impetus, and I know he wasn't fit enough to start, so I get that. But I thought he went down the left hand side, and he really showed Ali what Ali wasn't doing. I thought, in terms of, he was actually, like, you know, he was quite forceful in his play, which is what we needed as a team. We didn't have any real thrust or drive or direction. It was all very sort of like tippy tappy, like, you know, the usual stuff, just not really doing anything with the ball. Going out wide to Aurier, and Aurier hitting the first man or hitting a shit cross, and you know, that seems to be the sort of the way that the game was going. To be fair though, if you look at, I think they beat Schalke 5-0 at the weekend. Like, they are a class outfit. Like, you know, they might go very well in this competition. I think they look pretty decent. So I think obviously we need to be annoyed at ourselves that we're in this position with no strikers, and you know, we didn't really perform on the day. But to be fair, we got away with it, and it's only 1-0. And we know last year, you know, strange things can happen in football. We were all in Amsterdam, you know, we were all still high from it, even if it's like 9 months later. It's like, you know, it's still up there. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I think we're probably going to lose, but still, you never know. This is football, Lee, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is football. And as you come to me, West Ham has just gone 2-1 up. Show you about football. Yeah, listen, the most important thing is that we're still in the tie, and we have a fair crack at it going over to their place. So, you know, we got to go for the win, whatever way you look at it. And we banged 2 goals over there, which is almost a dream at the moment. But if we were to bang 2 goals over there, they got a lot of work to do. So, I don't think 1-0 was always the worst result, to be honest with you, over 2 legs. And it now comes down to a 90-minute shootout. So I would take that. When we're not playing particularly well, and when we're not turning up, and when we're making silly mistakes, I'll take a 90-minute shootout all day. I'll definitely take that. So it gives us another week or so. Maybe sharpen up a few players, get players a bit closer to 90 minutes match fit. You know, Lamela will be a lot fitter. Yeah. Ndombele will be a little bit fitter. Not a lot fitter, just a little bit.
Is he ever going to be fitter, though? That seems to be the thing. I mean, we'll come on to the Chelsea game in a minute, but that really does seem to be the thing. His fitness is so weird. He does have a languid style, but it's just, I just keep can't get it. He looks knackered. He looks like me playing five-a-side. And I'm 40.
Somebody's responsible for it. Somebody's obviously shown him like the chicken shop across the road, and well, he's obviously stopping there before games. So
Chick King is vibesy. So we know Chick King is vibesy. One thing I have to say is Lo Celso's performance in that game was outstanding. He was absolutely everywhere, and it was a real shame that he didn't really get the goal or create the goal or was involved in a goal, because he deserved to be fair. He was the one who was, he was the real engine. So I'm really, it's just frustrating that we do have the good midfielders at the moment, but we don't have the front men to profit from it. I think, you know, Lo Celso and Bergwijn would work so well with Harry Kane and Sonny. So it's a real shame that we don't have them at the moment. But I just think, yeah, he needed to be mentioned, because I thought he was outstanding. Obviously with Lloris, as we know, we already mentioned.
Not to obviously big up the Leipzig players, but just a mention on, is it Ampadu, who's on loan from Chelsea? He was a good player, really good. I thought he played really well. And I think, I mean, it leads me on to the youth of the team, because I think when you see that, you know, you see a team like Leipzig, a team that hasn't even been formed that long ago, come in and play young players, it makes me think about where we are and what we're doing as a club. There is a big problem with our current manager and him blooding in youth. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think that he's used to doing it. I don't think it's really made up in his DNA. I think that he's used to having a player that's almost ready-made.
But he brought in Tanganga. No, that was something that which Poch didn't do and definitely had it at his disposal. So that can't be overlooked. And I think he could be playing him more. Don't get me wrong. I thought he did okay on Saturday. But obviously, we'll come on to the Parrott situation later, because that is obviously a matter of contention. But, I mean, they reminded me of the Ajax team last year, actually. Their sort of youth and their exuberance and the way they play, the way they move the ball around. I thought they were a good outfit. So it's going to be an interesting game, whatever happens. And you know, if we can get the result, then that would be absolutely amazing. So it's time to talk about the Chelsea match. Oh dear, it's another one, really. And we played worse than we did against Leipzig. I thought we were. Again, I mean, Mourinho is saying we were tired, and I get that. They didn't have, obviously, a midweek game because it was us in the Champions League, so they were a little bit fresher. But they just looked like they wanted it more. And, you know, any team that watches us play in the past few years knows that if they play with a high press against us, we will struggle. We don't have the technical players to deal with the high press. We don't have the technical players to retain possession in that kind of situation with the midfield that we did have. And that seems to be the problem. And that was the problem, I thought. Obviously, again, we didn't have the focal point in attack. We didn't have that outlet. Bergwijn, I thought, struggled a little bit, but he looked okay. He was trying more, a sort of fleeted in and out of the game. Again, it was just like, it was frustrating to see. Lo Celso was a little bit deeper, and obviously he was getting stuck in with a few challenges. But it was again, I just felt like it was, they wanted it more. I thought that's, in my eyes, that's what it looked like. And it's sad to say, because obviously it's a massive game. But I just didn't think there was a desire from us, or, you know, I don't know. What would you say, Lee? What was your one thing that you would say was missing from our performance, apart from the obvious attacking force?
To be honest with you, I think you just summed it up there, but I don't think it's just Chelsea. Everybody who rocks up against us at the moment seems to want it more. You know, everybody, without fail, everybody seems to want it a bit more, which is it's a real red flag for me, because we're not doing something. So something's not right at, you know, in the training sessions, in the match preparation. You can't come out like that every game. I mean, Mason Mount absolutely rattled four of the five defenders. He rattled them, and I think he'd give Winksy a bit of a tap as well. He rattled five of our players. I mean, he must be 10 stone max with a wet kit on. and he's going around and he's rattled every one of them and mugged us off. He literally mugged us off. I don't understand why. I don't understand Mourinho's setup. He's got this build up. He wants to build up. He wants to catch teams on the break, and we haven't got the. I don't want to say that the tactical players, because they're playing top level football. They're playing Champions League football, so they must. You know, when we look at them, despite how much we criticise them and what we, you know, oh, he's getting paid this much, he's getting paid that much. Back to the matter is, they've got to be cool and calm and better on the ball than they're showing. They have to be. And if they're not, then they're just not cut out for this level of football. And Mourinho insists on trying to build up 30 yards deeper than we're used to doing and sucking teams in and trying to catch them on the break. Now, unfortunately, we're not good enough for that. And that's the cold reality of it. You know, you've got Ben Davies just come back. He's just come back from injury and he's not the quickest. Jan is on the decline. Toby, you know, he's probably still our kind of go-to guy, but you'd look at Toby this year compared to Toby 2 years ago and you ain't got the same guy. You got Sanchez, you know, you got Happy Feet Sanchez. He's going left, he's going right. He's following shadows. He's all over the show.
I thought he had a good game.
To be fair, I was going to say I think he had a good game.
Distribution-wise, it's never going to be his thing, but I thought he was better than Toby.
Don't give him the ball then, though.
You can't say don't give him the ball. He's a back. He's a defender. Like, he's a centre back. He's going to have the ball. You can't but just say don't give him the ball. If he's in space, that's the way they're going to play.
Yeah, but we're inviting pressure on that. We're no good at dealing with.
I don't like seeing it. Don't get me wrong, but you know.
Right. So you don't like seeing it. 59,000 don't like seeing it. And what happens then? It's the same as when you got Aurier on the pitch. Nobody likes to see it. So the crowds start going, oh. And it gets to the player. I mean, you know, Sanchez will win a tackle and Sanchez will be strong. His positional is horrific. Even the second goal they scored, Tanganga's come across and Tanganga should be picking up Alonso. Tanganga should have been running head on, full on into Alonso. And Sanchez was across covering Toby. So you got to ask, where's Jan? You know, why have we got backs, but three of them have been pulled out of position by one player. You know, it's something drastically wrong there. So you do have to start addressing what we're doing on the training ground, because we can't be doing both. We can't be doing coaching the attackers, coaching the defenders, because we can't be. We just can't be, because it's horrific. We're no good at one end, and we're not particularly bright at the other end. And even going forward, we're just running down alleys at the moment. Mm. Lucas, I mean, I love him. I love the guy. And outside, we're missing 63% of our goal scorers. That's what we was missing on Sunday, on Saturday morning. No Dele, no Sonny, and no Kane. 63% of our goals was gone missing. And the next person who notches up 13% of our goals is Lucas. And I'll be fair to Lucas, he wears, for the older listeners, he's got Billy's boots on, isn't he? He just goes shooting off. He doesn't know where he's going. Lucas don't know where he's running after time. But sometimes it just opens up, but he runs down dead ends. Lucas is unbelievable when he's facing goal from 20 yards out. Give him a little shimmy, let him get his shots off. But he's running down dead ends and it's continuous. And we've got to come up with a better game plan. And I know we're going to get on to what are we doing with our youngsters? What are we doing with... You know, Dele got frustrated on Wednesday. He's allowed to, you know, I don't care what people say. He's this, he's that, he's petulant. Let's cash in on him. The nonsense that comes out of some of our fans is unbelievable. What is he, 23 years old? You know, he's still a kid, approaching 50 goals, 49 goals. You know, people need to listen to themselves sometimes.
But we don't know what his frustrations were. He might have been frustrated at his own performance. Well, you know what I mean? You don't know what he was frustrated at. And like I said, the fact that he didn't have a focal point meant that he was even more frustrated, and I think that was standard. So I had no issue with him being frustrated at all.
I thought people would be more disappointed if the guy substituted and he doesn't really care about it.
Sitting there smiling, do you know what I mean? Then he would get absolutely ruined if he was sitting there smiling and joking.
You will get onto it, but all I'll say quickly is that when you're asking somebody like Dele to play, asking Denny to play centre forward, and he can't. That's not his natural position. But you're asking him to do a job because he can nick a goal. That's all very well, right? I just want to let people. I want to let people just kind of think about that. You're asking somebody to play centre forward. We've also asked Lucas to play centre forward. We've also asked Bergwijn to play centre forward. Asking somebody to play centre forward because they can nick a goal from midfield is not the same as asking a forward to play centre forward, right? And I know we're going to get onto the Parrott thing. And I know Parrott, 17, 18, just turned 18. Regardless, he has learnt his trade to date as a centre forward. He will make a one-yard movement. He'll make a little shimmy to make that extra yard for himself. It's already ingrained in his DNA. Now, somebody who you're asking to play in that position won't offer you the same. They won't. I don't care what they've got in terms of how many caps or how many Premier League games. It's not in their DNA. It's not in their DNA. They face goal upwards. A Parrott at 18 knows how to play with his back to goal. You know, that's all he's learned for the last 2-3 years. I'm not saying he's the answer, by the way, but we need to come up with something because we can't keep saying we have a number 10, we have a number 10, we have a number 10 who can act as a number 9. Truth of the matter is, none of them can. That's the bottom line. So where do we go from here? Because we've got 5 players across the middle who can't be a number 9.
Well, that is the question. And obviously, it was brought up quite a bit in the week with Mourinho, and he seems to say that Parrott's not ready. He obviously isn't doing something in training because, when I've seen him play, which obviously has been very little, but even the highlights of him in the youth, like games and stuff, he's looked, and when he did pre-season against some of the, like Real Madrid, when he was playing in the cups that we had pre-season, you know, he looked decent enough to be tried. And I think that's the main thing. Like, is he thinking that if he plays him, and he's terrible, it's going to affect his career? Like, if he has a bad game, like, is that his thinking? Is it his worry? Because there's no way that he can say that we've already seen his talent, that he's not good enough to be given a chance to prove himself in that position when we don't have any other strikers, and it's obvious for Stevie Wonder to see that there's flipping, you know, there's no focal point up there now.
I completely agree with you there. I think that drastic situations require, you know, drastic decisions. I think we've got to this point, well, because we don't have anyone, you are going to have to play someone. It just doesn't, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't think about doing it. If the goals can't come from the players that are on the field, then you have to look to someone who's naturally, you know, as Kurt said, you know, in the last 2 or 3 years, that's all he's been doing, scoring goals. That's all he does. So he makes the runs that a striker makes. Not all of them, like you say, probably, you know, he's not going to make all the runs that Kane would make. But I think we have got to that point now where he has to. It's even worse now because before, I think you could have played him, you know, the last 10 minutes of a game. But now, you know, it's. I think it's got to the point where he's going to have to involve him.
It might be the Norwich game. It might be the Norwich game. That might be the start. But you never know. If he does get bag a goal, then, you know, that could be the change. That could be the catalyst, and then that could be it. So let's talk about the lineup, because it was slightly different. And initially we thought it was going to be going like for like in terms of a back three, with obviously the wing backs. So Tanganga against Alonso and then Davies against James, but it almost was pretty much just a flat back five, it seemed.
We did sit back,
and that even meant even more there was a lack of focal point because we were a player down. You know, in the other games we had Ali basically up there, as well as obviously Bergwijn and the Chelsea and Lucas. So we had less people basically to try and get that goal, and also we just really struggled to maintain possession in that midfield. It was, I mean, what are we saying, Kofi, about Ndombele's fitness? What is the answer here? What's going on? Because it is strange. I know he's got a languid style. I get that. He does look a bit lazy, even when he's not. Like Berbatov almost was like that, though. So, you know, that's just sometimes a player's style. So I'm not saying it's that. But he also looks absolutely shattered. like when he just goes on a little like jinking run and or he's just falling over and he's always, I don't know what it is. Like what do we have to do to like, you know, improve his fitness and make him a player that he still has, I think, the potential to be?
It's a difficult one because when he first joined, I'd read that when he was a young player, he had problems with his weight and problems with his fitness to the extent where he was quite annoyed with coaches and wasn't going to play for certain teams. So, you know, it's something in his DNA, in his makeup that he's carrying that weight. But that doesn't mean it should stay like that. I think, you know, you think back to someone like Huddleston, who massive frame and, you know, wasn't light on his feet getting around the pitch, but he was made to shed some weight and became a better player because of it. You know, you could see his body shape change and he was doing more on the park. So I think Jose or, you know, whoever's looking after fitness at the minute needs to talk to the guy and they need to put him on a schedule, put him on a regime and get him fitter. You know, it's beautiful when you watch him play, the way that he'll fake a move and he's got skills and he sets people up for goals. He scores goals himself, but he needs to be on the pitch regularly and for more than sort of 10, 20 minutes. He needs to be there 80, 90 minutes and showing us what he can do. So I think there's the opportunity for him during training at the minute to get fit. I don't think we have to wait until pre-season. We need to see it happen.
100%. I just don't know. Tanganga was given the nod above Aurier to start in that sort of right of the five, as it were. How were you impressed with his performance, Lee? What did you think?
I thought he did well. I thought he held his own, and he's actually unlucky not to score when he brought the ball down. And I mean, terrible first touch, but the fact that he nearly nestled in the bottom corner would have been a bit of a touch. But I thought he'd done well. And do you know what? I know people, we spoke about it and we go crazy about Aurier, or some of us do. Some of us just kind of ride it out. I go crazy about Aurier. We didn't miss him. And I think that was, and we looked a little bit calmer. It's disappointing that the second goal came from his side of the pitch. Mm-hmm. But again, that wasn't down to him. That was him doing what a centre-back does and goes across and covers the next man, despite having another three just standing there doing nothing. So I thought he held his own. I thought he did very, very well. And again, just showed he's got a great temperament. And I think we just got to kind of push on with him now. I think we've got to persist with him. You know, he's not, we talk about young and we talk about the age again, but he's 20. You know, he's 20 and he looks ready. He looks ready to learn on the job. I think people forget we paid 40 million for Sanchez. And he was a bit younger and we chucked him in and he just played and he played. And nobody questioned his age because a massive price tag came with him.
Well, he also played quite a lot of games in Holland as opposed to, you know, he's not really played that many first, like sort of high level games. So we're obviously conceding shed loads of goals at the moment. And so the question that's been sort of like dotted around the social media with regards to a defensive midfielder in terms of we don't have that sort of protector that we used to have in terms of the Wanyama, the Dyers when he was in form, or the Dembeles, is obviously Wiggs isn't that player. So is it just a case of us riding out to the end of the season and then we're going to get one? Because obviously, if you look at all the good teams that are doing well, they have one. They have a Kante or Jorginho, or they have a Rodri, or they have a Fernandinho, or they have, you know. So we surely need someone who is going to offer some protection, because it seems like we do have an aging back line in terms of Vertonghen and Alderweireld. If he's deciding to play with those guys, they're definitely not what they used to be, as we said. And so they need even more protection than they used to receive. But they're not really getting it. Winks obviously runs around a lot and he gets stuck in. I totally get that. I think he's been one of our best players this season. But is he the answer in that defensive midfielder role? Dom, what do you think?
Well,
you're going to pull up the stats now. Get your laptop.
No. I'm not going to pull up the stats. I think it's evident. And on our Facebook group, I think one of our members said that we miss Sissoko. And I think they're right. I'm not saying he's the answer either, but I think we do, you know, of the injuries we've got to the midfield, I think that he's the one player with the, you know, who's slightly more, you know, from an athletic point of view, he's strong and he runs around. I think that he is missed. In answer to your question about Winks, he's definitely not the answer. I don't think he's a player for every game. It just doesn't seem like he's the effort's there, but it doesn't seem to work for him in every game. Mm. And that depends, really. That's maybe not his fault, maybe down to tactics, but it's not his form isn't consistent enough for me. You know, especially when Chelsea are playing players like Barkley, I just felt like, I wasn't comparing him to Barkley, but he wasn't, you know, Barkley had a better game than Winks. That's not good enough, you know, for someone of his, who's playing a lot more games. You know, you expect him to have consistency.
But none of the team could really sort of maintain possession, could they?
Do you not feel, from what I read and what I see and what I hear, I feel like Winks has been made a scapegoat in a lot of games, and it feels like, as fans at the moment in our fan base, we need to have a scapegoat. I feel like we're going through a phase where now Dyer's out of the team, it's got to be Aurier. Now Aurier's out of the team, now it's got to be Winks. And I feel Winks has been made a bit of a scapegoat, because you're right, we don't have a defensive midfielder, and he is busting his balls, he is running around like a madman. And for a large portion of those games, he was running across to the right-hand side of defence, making stupid tackles to cover Aurier because he's halfway up the pitch. You know, so when he gets the ball, you're going, right, go forward. But hang on a minute, there's no centre forward. So, you know, and everyone's, oh, he only goes sideways. Well, he goes sideways, that's because Lucas is standing next to him one side, and maybe Bergwijn or Lamella stand next to him the other side, and they just go off on a maze down the pitch because he can't ping it forward because there's nobody up there.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's been made a bit of a scapegoat. But I mean, you know, I agree with you in terms of I don't think he's for every game. And as you know, as pointed out in the group as well, I think Jeff said we miss Sissoko. And we miss Sissoko because he gives us energy. He's a trier, you know. Even if he gives the ball away, he's gonna be the first player back to win it back. You know, yeah. and that energy lifts players. We look like a team that are missing somebody just to lift everybody up. We're missing them. So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one. We're definitely in need of a defensive midfielder player in there. And we are definitely missing Sissoko at the moment for his energy. And we need somebody to lift us. We need somebody to just grab it and lift us. And Gio looks like he's trying his best, you know, all 5'9" of him. And I don't know what Mourinho said to him that really upset him, but he got stuck in, didn't he? Him and Lamella, they love it, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Have a look at my.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Loves getting stuck in, and it's every time I see him, I think, as probably other people do, he's not the player I thought he was going to be for us, but he's a really good player for what he does, and by no means is he a defensive midfield player. But when he's on the pitch, he slows other teams down.
Oh yeah, I just like him. Think he brings. He's got a bit of everything, and I didn't think he would. I didn't think he had a bit of everything, and he's been the guy to carry us forward. So I'm happy with him. I think he's been standout.
So it's time to talk about the Wolves game that we have coming up this weekend. I mean, I'm not confident. I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely not confident. They looked pretty good the other day. I know they were playing Norwich, so. But they also battered Espanyol the other day. So they're in form. And they got a result against us before, away from home, when they came to Wembley. They've got to be fancying their chances against us in our current state, I would have thought. You know, they look like they're scoring goals. We don't look like we're scoring goals. It's not looking great for me. I mean, am I being incredibly pessimistic, or am I being a realist here, Kofi?
I think you're absolutely being a realist. Wolves are at it at the minute. They will come at us. They won't like what happened in the last game when they thought they were going to beat us. So, you know, and they're playing well. They're trying to get into the European spots, get into that Champions League spot, which is now potentially fifth place. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game for us. Unfortunately, the lane isn't a fortress at all at the moment. People love playing there. It's a nice day out for other teams.
Yes, this is sadly true. So in terms of the lineup, we've sort of like almost got a full squad now in terms of obviously the ones that are a little bit injured. So in terms of, we obviously have got Lamela back, and Ndombele looks like he could be back, like hopefully maybe to start. So what are we thinking in terms of lineup, Lee? What would you go with? Obviously, I'm hoping you're not going to go with the back five that seem to not work against Chelsea.
No, I would sack that off, to be honest. I'd go for a four. It'd be a 4-5-1 for me, or a 4-1-4-1. It's just at the top. It's the top end of the pitch. If Lamela's good to start, I think we need that energy. I think Ndom starts and we get as much out of him again as possible. Obviously, Lo Celso's in there. And then, you know, I think you go Bergwijn and Lucas again, don't you? But it'll be interesting to see if he brings Dele back. We need goals, and that's the issue here. We need goals. Everybody poses goal threat at the moment, except for ourselves. So it'll be interesting to see how we go. So you may well bring Dele back into that five and have him be the false nine, if you like, and then swap it out with Bergwijn and Lucas. I just don't see where our options are up at the top in terms of doing anything different to what we've done in the last few games. So I really hope that we're busting our balls on the training ground to try and come up with some, you know, some decent tactics and some decent play. It'd be a 4-1-4-1 for me, but you know, they would rotate the top position.
Okay, all right, Don, what are your thoughts on the game?
I'm with, you know, I think Kofi said everything that needs to be said on this. They're a team in form. Wolves are playing extremely well. Obviously Norwich and Espanyol, you know, a weaker opposition, but they look good all over the pitch. Their bench is strong as well. You know, the players that you're not potentially playing every week, that they could just come in to a team for certain games. You know, they seem to be sort of primed and ready to go. I think it's really, where are the goals coming from for Tottenham? I can't see it.
I think Bergwijn's a threat now for me. Bergwijn's a threat, I would say.
I think he is a bit of a threat. I think that, strangely, I think against Chelsea, I wasn't that too fussed. I thought the first 20 minutes, I thought, I can see what we're trying to do. So, you know, I mean, it didn't get any better. That's the problem against Chelsea. But I kind of saw how we were trying to feel our way into a game. You know, they were cagey, we were cagey. But it seemed quite positive to begin with. And I think, I'm hoping that we can start and try and figure out what they're doing first, really.
They're not the kind of team that are going to come and sit back, are they, at all? They're going to come and attack us because they think they're going to win. So, you know, there will be spaces in behind. And we showed against Villa, you know, I mean, obviously Son was there. And so we did see, obviously, a slightly different team. But there was still, I mean, Ali alone, as we spoke about last week, he had about six chances on his own. And that wasn't all just down to Son. That was Bergwijn showing a few touches. And, you know, so there will still be chances created. And I think Ali is very good at getting in those situations. He's just not necessarily the best at taking those chances. But at the moment, he might be one of the best players that we have. So I expect, in terms of looking at a goal threat, I think probably it's a good idea that he does come back into the team, because we do need a goal. We are going to need a goal.
One of the questions I just wanted to ask Kurtz was that you know, your analysis of Lucas was really good. I thought, you know, you're right. He does a lot of stuff and he tries a lot. What do you think we should do to kind of utilise the speed, even if it's not for him to score goals, but it's maybe affecting the, you know, that forward press in a way, because a lot of what he does is run around, but it doesn't seem to be. We talked about Lamela, and from a defensive point of view, he's nicking balls. He's being really quite aggressive and able to get balls back. I don't really see that from Lucas. What do you think we could do with him to get him to be more positive influence on the entire team.
I don't know if I said before, and I think sometimes people kind of get wrapped up in the fact that I'm having an Aurier rant. The fact of the matter is, when you play three at the back, and you then choose to have Aurier that far up the pitch as a free man who can then whip in crosses, for me, his cross conversion isn't as impressive as everyone thinks it is. So for me, that person for 60 minutes, 70 minutes could easily be Lucas. Because actually, one of the things he does do quite well is get back. He will put a little tackle in. He'll never let a man get away from him. He'll always have a nibble back. But if he runs himself ragged, as Mourinho's already pointed out. He says, yeah, he runs himself. He's shattered. He's knackered. He takes him off. He says, yeah, you know, the boys are knackered. So stick him out on that wing. Let him play where Aurier has been playing, that far up the pitch. And just try and give him the ball as much as possible, because he'll get down the line. And if he isolates a left back one-on-one, they're going to have to double up on him. And then if he gets clever enough, you start playing into the Celso's in the middle and Ali in the middle, and opens up more space. So I don't see why we need to play a right back if we're going to play three at the back. And we could have more, we could have Lucas out there for 60, 70 minutes. And then if you're in the lead, then close up the game. Then stick Serge on, or then stick Tanganga on out there and go, right, you be that right-sided player. Because it doesn't work for us. It doesn't work for us. We were meant to do that on Saturday. And we had ended up with five at the back, because Chelsea's back five was only a back three in the end, because they had so much fun up the pitch. So stick more out there. Isolate him. Tell him to get chalk on his boots, and let's feed the ball into his feet as much as possible and say, right, get busy down that line. Job done.
Yeah. Job done. There we go. That's it. It's as easy as that. Obviously, Jose's listening, as Poch used to, so sort it out, Jose. You know what I mean? Turn up those headphones and, yeah, listen to us, because listen to Kurtz, man. He's been there. We've done it. He's got those medals.
Metropolitan five-a-side.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about their medals. It all counts, Kurtz. It all counts, you know. It's all good. Cool. Okay, so prediction time then, guys. What are we going for? I'm not confident, so I'm going to say 1-1. Sorry. I know it's bad. Maybe it's me being depressed, but I think that's if we're lucky as well. Oh, God, what's happening? Jesus, this isn't good. This isn't fun. We're meant to be instilling some confidence and positivity to our fan base, and I'm bringing them down. Sorry, guys. But yeah, 1-1 for me. Dom?
It's all doom and gloom. It's all doom and gloom. But I think we're due a freaky result, really. Just something out of the blue. So I'm going to go 2-0.
Oh, wow. Okay, good, good, good. Good to see that the summer salad's still working down there. Kofi, what are you saying?
I don't think we can keep a clean sheet. I think we will be lucky, and it will be 2-2.
2-2, okay, cool. And Kurtz?
Yeah, I quite like the sound of your prediction. But yeah. Now let's finish on a high. We're going to nick it. We're going to nick it on one of our breaks, 2-1.
Let's finish on a high. You're going to finish on a high, as in the show?
Yeah, let's wrap it up with 2-1, a 2-1 victory Sunday.
2-1 victory, okay. That would be good. That would be nice, you know. And it's definitely, it could happen. Like I said, I think Bergwijn's definitely filled me with a bit more confidence. So Chelsea's performances have definitely, again, done that. They are going to have a bit more of a rest this week, so that's something that we should consider. They're going to have 8 days. So hopefully their fatigue may have changed. And we may well see Parrott on the bench. I wouldn't be surprised if we did. So who knows whether he's going to get that chance. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Okay, guys, pleasure to have you all on once again. It's been fun, as always. And, yeah, hopefully we've managed to, you know, just maybe cheer people up a little bit, but probably not. Yes, once again, thank you very much, Don, Kofi and Lee. We'll be back same time next week. And enjoy your week, everybody out there listening. We are the Thing I Love Most show, available on all of the podcast channels. We also have a YouTube channel as well if you want to check it out. And enjoy the game on Sunday if you're going. And we're going to be in the Blue Coats pub before and after if you want to come and say hi. Always nice to meet you guys. And obviously, if you want to get involved in the show, you're more than welcome as well. So enjoy your week, everybody. And hopefully we'll get another big 3 points on Sunday. Enjoy your week.
All right, someone's out of time for me.